The views and opinions expressed on The World in Crisis with John Gasser do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WJJC Radio, Whisperin' 95.1 FM, any political subdivision, or the United States Navy.
Everyone, and welcome to World in Crisis with John Gassert. I'm co-host Rob Jordan. We are coming to you from Commerce, Georgia, from the studios of Whisperin' 95.1 FM, WJJC 1270 AM. Get us worldwide 365 24/7 at WJJC.net and Whisperin951.com. Now, when you visit those two internet platforms, be sure to check out the locally produced programs page. There you'll find World in Crisis and our archives. The archives contain lots of good information, including the last four programs that have been aired for free if you listen to it at your leisure. One ages out each week, so there's generally new content every week. There's also several programs there that have been embedded that we think are necessary for you to listen to at some point to get a really good grasp on where John's coming from with the prophecy in the Bible being played out in today's headlines. There's also a place there for you to donate to the ministry if you so choose. Remembering, of course, that 100% of every single dollar goes towards purchasing additional airtime for World in Crisis. We'd also like to welcome our listeners at America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia, and Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas. They play the program at different times of the day and different days of the week. So wherever you are and whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gassert. John?
Well, good evening to Commerce, Georgia, and all our internet listeners worldwide. We are privileged to have you with us each week for World in Crisis as we examine God's prophetic word and look for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, this nation was founded as a Christian nation. We have just celebrated the 250th anniversary of that founding, and today it looks very different than it did those 250 years ago. We are almost devolving into madness. Biblical worldview has been abandoned. We are living in a hedonistic society that will not prosper. I can guarantee you that. Listen, soul preacher, very carefully. This world is on a collision course, not just this nation. This world is on a collision course with the judgment of Almighty God. You have precious little time in which to make a decision between spiritual life and spiritual death. You can choose life through Jesus Christ by receiving Him into your heart so as to be saved, or you can choose death and hell. But the choice is binary, and the choice is yours. I pray that you will receive the Lord Jesus this very night so as to be saved and pass from death to life and life eternal. Rob?
And as you mentioned, John, it is a binary choice. And, you know, you may say, well, heck, I'll make that choice when I'm laying on my deathbed, or, you know, I'll put it off for a month or a week or a year. I'll do it later. Well, you may not have a later. You're not promised the next second, much less the next day. And if you don't make a decision, then that is making a decision because, as John said, it is binary. It is one way or the other. There is no gray middle ground there, and there's no purgatory, as some religions would tell you. That doesn't exist. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell, and that's your two choices. And as John said, you do have that absolute choice. Now, before we get too deep, John, let's do the quote of the day. That's always well received.
Apparently, based on listener response, and tonight it comes from a former Muslim, Taslima Nazreen. She writes, quote, "Terrorists are not misinterpreting the Quran. It is clearly written in the Quran that non-Muslims must be killed. Secularists who defend Islam have never studied the Quran. The Quran is the root cause of terrorism."
Absolutely. And people that claim that it doesn't say this, or it plainly does say
Yes, it does.
That you must kill all infidels unless they convert. And that's just the way it works. Now, John, usually we try to answer a question every week, and we don't sure. always get to it. But I had an interesting one come in for this program. I've heard lots of ministers, lots of Bible scholars over the years, and I won't tell you how old I am, but I'm old. But anyway, I've heard lots of Bible scholars talk about John the Baptist and his importance in Jesus's ministry, in that he was a lead-in, a forerunner, if you will, to
he prepared the way Jesus, of the Lord. That's what the Bible
Jesus
says.
Christ, yes. And the question was, if John the Baptist was a lead-in to Jesus, will the Antichrist also have a lead-in?
I suspect so, but I would expand it a bit. While Jesus prepared the way of the Lord, there will likely be an individual or even a series of individuals that prepare the way of Antichrist. What I would tell our listening audience is the world is being prepared for the kingdom of Antichrist.
Right.
And you can see this with anti-Semitism sweeping the United States and the world. There's probably more anti-Semitism in Europe today than there was before the Second World War.
I would have to agree with that. And it's not only in Europe. It is, I would have said 2 weeks ago, and I probably said it's seeping into the political fabric of the United States, but I think it's more like a dam's burst. In this.
Of course. No, absolutely. And listen, so preacher, very carefully. The 14th chapter of Zechariah declares that God will bring all nations to battle against Jerusalem. That's not some. That's every nation on the face of this earth one day will go to battle against Jerusalem to destroy Jerusalem, Israel, and the Jewish people. That is what the Bible calls Armageddon. Now, at that point, Jesus Christ will return. His feet will hit the Mount of Olives on the east. It splits in two, half of the mountain moving toward the north and half toward the south. Most people do not know there's a natural geologic fissure running right through the Mount of Olives. And the living remnant of Jews at that time, one-third, according to Zechariah, will, of course, see him. They will recognize that it was the carpenter's son, after all. And they will flee into that valley for protection. Jesus Christ will enter into judgment with all those nations which came to war against his city, Jerusalem, and his people, Israel. And by eventime, on that day, he will have ascended the throne of David on Mount Moriah in Jerusalem, and no power on earth or in this universe can stop it. So you need to think about these things. Israel is the key to the consummation of the ages. It is by the Jewish people and that piece of dirt over there that he will bring about the consummation of the ages. So the short version of this is that there are many people preparing the world to receive Antichrist. And I'm going to be talking, as a matter of fact, the first topic I want to discuss is America's 40-year drop in a biblical worldview. This is no surprise to me.
No, not to me either.
This research was done by Mr. Barna, George Barna, who is a very competent researcher. And we are seeing not only the United States, but the world essentially abandon a biblical worldview. They reject the God of the Bible. They reject God's Son, and the consequences of that rejection will be horrific. One day in the not-too-distant future, the Lord Jesus Christ will take his church out of this world, and when we are removed, the Holy Ghost, the restraint of the Holy Ghost, will be removed as well. Evil will come to full fruition. Ladies and gentlemen, when that hoedown begins, you do not want to be here, Rob.
Absolutely you don't, and you don't have to be.
No.
There's a way out. We're not on here every week just preaching doom and gloom and, you know, everybody's going to die and it's going to be horrible. It's going to be horrible for the folks that are left here, but you do not have to be left here. You can accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and buy your ticket, so to speak, out of this world.
You'll be out of here. You'll fly away with the rest of it.
Exactly.
All righty. Well, I hope that answered the question.
I think it does. But I like most of our questions that we actually use here on the program, very astute audience. Very well thought out.
They're very much like the Bereans, and I appreciate it, and I'm thankful that you are listening to what I'm preaching here. I'm thankful that you are checking it, that you are thinking about it, researching it, checking it with Scripture, because that's how you become grounded, and then you are not deceived or blown about by every wind of doctrine and you believe anything some fool comes along and tells you. So,
my granny used to say, if you don't believe in something, you'll fall for anything.
Well, that's essentially correct. Listen, it was Hitler's propaganda minister, Goebbels, who once said that if you tell a lie big enough and long enough, the people will believe it.
Oh, absolutely correct.
And I think we have seen that in recent history, as a matter of fact. So, there's been a 40-year drop in a biblical worldview. Some people are perplexed. This is Dateline 28 May by George Barna. Some people are perplexed by the consistently declining acceptance of biblical principles by the American population. Given that a person's worldview is formed by the age of 13, listen to that again, ladies and gentlemen, your worldview is essentially formed by age 13 and rarely experiences a significant change after that point. How can one explain the decline in the incidence of adults possessing a biblical worldview? Now, let me explain. A biblical worldview is someone who accepts and believes the foundational doctrines of the faith.
Right.
That would be the virgin birth, divinity of Jesus Christ, his substitutionary death on the cross, his burial and physical resurrection from the dead, and which is the gospel message. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus Christ came as a propitiation, a substitute for sin, and that he was crucified, dead, and buried, and rose again the third day. That is the gospel. Now, in order to be saved, that's what you have to believe.
Correct.
Because Romans 10, 9, and 10 declares, as Paul writes, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That is a declarative statement of God. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth we confess, resulting in salvation. So, the answer is simple. The short version is generational transformation, according to George Barna. He's director of research at the Cultural Research Center of Arizona Christian University, and they annually examine worldview. And in fact, they call it the American Worldview Inventory. If you trace the worldview perspectives of adult generations over the course of decades, you can predict the aggregate incidence of biblical and competing worldviews, Mr. Barna explained. Biblical worldview has declined with each of the last five generations. That's hard to get your mind around, Ron.
Yeah, it is. That's very difficult.
During that time, the national incidence of adults holding a biblical worldview has plummeted from 12% to 4% today.
Wow.
Only 4% of adults in this nation hold a biblical worldview. A nation ostensibly that would be called a Christian nation.
I think so. We were founded on Christian principles, and anybody
correct.
That tells you that you're not, they're lying to you.
That's correct. 24 of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence held seminary degrees. They were studied in Hebrew and Greek. There is no question that this nation was founded on Christian precept. In fact, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States are almost divine documents. They were inspired by Christian precept and principle. Now, if this is true in the United States, what do you think it? What do you think it is in the rest of the world?
Oh, it probably in the less than 1% range.
I won't take that bet. Europe is gone.
Oh,
England is gone.
Well, Africa's gone.
Africa had I don't know they are wherever
the
they East, are.
Eastern bloc over there, they're gone. Australia's gone. I mean,
Central South America.
Yeah, the United States of America is the last bastion, and it speaks very poorly of us that we're at 4%.
Well, it's not a very flattering picture of God's country. I can tell you that much. Our studies of teenagers and preteens indicate that the national incidence will drop another 2 points within the next 15 years, which makes it almost non-existent, Rob.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you're down to about 2%. Unless something dramatic and unusually effective resulting in spiritual renewal occurs, some event. Well, my suspicion is that will be the rapture of the church, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, every church in the world will be full that next day.
That's precisely right, with lost people, I might add, because the moment, one moment after the church is taken, that is, the church vanishes from the face of this earth, the world will be filled with lost people.
Right. There won't be anything but lost people.
That
left.
Is correct. Now, there may be some people saved pretty soon thereafter.
Yeah.
But in those first moments, certainly, they will be lost.
Just to your point there, John, when that happens, just try to imagine what it would be like for someone who was raised in church. They've heard this message 100 million times over their life, yet they did not believe. And then to have that realization thrust upon them,
right?
I cannot imagine what that would be, what would be going through their head.
No, well, see, all they had was a head knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Right.
I believe in Matthew 6, when the scripture describes that not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say in that day, "Didn't we prophesy? Didn't we perform? Didn't we perform?" That's the operant phrase. This is the works-based crowd. And Jesus tells them, said, "I never knew you." Well, the Greek there is genesto. It's the difference between an intellectual knowledge and an intimate relationship. You've got to be saved. You've got to receive the Lord into your heart. You have to be born again. You'll be sealed with the Holy Ghost. And you enter into that intimate relationship with the living Son of God. That's how you get saved. Now, when the scripture says, not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father. Well, what is that? Well, that is explained in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John. The scripture declares that the will of the Father is to behold the Son and believe on him.
There you
go. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Philippian jailer asked Paul. "What must I do to be saved?" And he said, he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved.
It's
you and your
simple.
Family." That is a result of the belief of the Father.
Very simple.
Very simple. I know we're close to a hard. Let me just finish this. So, the expected decline can be explained by the increasing influence of the worldview championed by millennials and Gen Z, as the proportion of adults from the boomer and elder generation substantially decreases. Now, I'm going to touch now on the new morality, but in order to be consistent, I know we're up against a hard break.
We are. Let's go ahead and take it. You're listening to World in Crisis with John Gassert. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back to World in Crisis with John Gassert. I'm co-host Rob Jordan. We're coming to you from Commerce, Georgia. We're in the studios of Whisper 95.1 FM and WJJC 1270 AM. Get us worldwide 365 24/7 at WJJC.net and Whisper951.com. Be sure to check out the locally produced programs page when you go to those websites, and there you'll find the World in Crisis archives. The last four programs are there you listen to at your leisure. One ages out each week, so there's new content. Also, there's several embedded programs that we think are necessary for you to listen to at some point to get a really good understanding of where John stands on Bible prophecy and how it's being played out in today's world. We'd also like to welcome our listeners at America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia, and Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas. They play the program at different times of the day and different days of the week. So wherever you are and whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gasser. John?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, there seems to be a new morality, and I would submit to you that's largely based on what the Bible described in the time of the judges. Scripture declares that at that time there was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. They became the arbiters of their own truth.
Right.
In other words, right and wrong became whatever they thought it was, you see. And
like you hear a lot of people today, just in put in modern vernacular, this is my truth.
That's right.
There is no my truth and your truth. It's the truth.
That's right. You'll hear people say, well, that's your truth and I have my truth.
Right.
There's only one truth.
Correct.
Which is transcendent truth. It's immutable truth. It's found between Genesis and Revelation. And it is embodied in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When they hauled Jesus before Pilate, and he asked him, he said, what is truth? And it was staring him in the face, you see. That's the only truth that exists. John 14:6, Jesus declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That is the only truth that exists for you, ladies and gentlemen, or for me, or for this world. He is the only hope for you, for me, or for this world. It's the only way that you can be forgiven of sins and enter into God's heaven. No priest, wafer, in none of that business will be effective for you. You have to confess the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him into your heart. I pray you will do that this very night. In exploring four dozen worldviews, Barnum pointed out that traditional morality is one of the major casualties of the millennials and Gen Zs, replacing boomers and elders, and I'm going to give you the age ranges here momentarily, replacing them as the largest generation in the adult population. Millennials are currently aged 22 to 40, boomers are 60 to 78, elders are 79 or older. Gen Z is comprised of people aged 3 through 21. But as a survey of adults, only those 18 to 21 years of age are included in this data. So the data indicates in 2024 a dramatic shift in morals. A majority of adults accept lying, abortion, consensual intercourse between unmarried adults, gay marriage, and the rejection of absolute moral truth as morally acceptable. You might as well crash and burn.
Exactly.
Less than half of all adults embrace the Bible as their primary guide to morality. A minority believes that every moral choice either honors or dishonors God. Paul wrote that anything not of faith is sin. Now, taken to its logical conclusion and extreme, that means moment by moment you're either committing acts of faith or acts of sin.
Yeah.
Brushing your teeth is an act of faith. If you believe the Bible that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, then brushing your teeth is taking care of the temple, isn't it?
Exactly.
Not?
You're cleaning it.
That's a moment by moment living in either faith or sin. A large minority of adults accept the notion that as long as you do no harm, you may do whatever you wish. Well, that sounds like Nike. Just do it.
Yeah,
you see, you have whatever Officer Don needs, you just go with it.
That's right.
If it feels good,
long as I'm not infringing on you, I'm good.
That's right. And if it does no harm, quote unquote.
Right.
That's why people accept and celebrate prostitution. It's sometimes called a victimless crime.
Right.
It might not be from a secular perspective, but it certainly is from a spiritual
and from a moral perspective as well.
Of course. Well, which is essentially spiritual.
It should be. Yeah.
Everything proceeds out of that unseen spiritual dimension.
Yeah, it should be. Everything moral should be, that should be considered just that. That's the way to go.
Well, that's right. Just do it. See, millennials have proven to be social disruptors, reshaping the moral belief and behavior norms, behavioral norms established by boomers and busters, also known as Generation X, currently between 41 and 59. Gen Z individuals born between 2003 and 2021 have followed the lead of the millennials in some crucial moral dimensions. Specifically, millennials set the pace and new pace, and Gen Z has maintained or accelerated it as the new standard, further reshaping or solidifying new moral norms in the following areas. Accepting abortion. While 6 of 10 boomers and busters consider having an abortion to be acceptable behavior, 7 of 10 millennials, 67%, and Gen Z, 69%, endorse abortion. That's the murder of the unborn, ladies and gentlemen. It's not tissue. It is a child. That is no different than Herod the Great murdering the newborns in Bethlehem from age 2 and below. It is precisely no difference. They have blood on their hands, and if you endorse it, you've got blood on your hands too. Accepting consensual sex between unmarried adults. Echoing the pattern related to abortion, the survey shows that six out of 10, that's 60%, busters consider sexual intercourse between consenting unmarried adults to be morally acceptable, but a higher proportion of young adults, 69% of millennials and 73% of Gen Zs, endorse such sexual encounters. Refusing to repay a loan that is due. Overall, about one quarter of adults from generations encompassing people 55 and older say they accept the refusal to repay a loan to a wealthy relative who does not push for repayment to be morally acceptable. It's not morally acceptable.
No, it's absolutely not.
It's unethical. In fact,
it's an obligation.
Say it?
It's an obligation.
Well, it's theft, too, if you get right down
right.
to it. Nearly twice as many younger adults accept such a refusal to repay what is due to be morally defensible. 42% of millennials, 50% of Gen Zs. That's why they want student loan forgiveness, Rob. They are obligated to repay the student loan.
Right.
But they don't want to repay the student loan.
Yeah, so the government steps in and says they don't have to.
So the taxpayer.
Exactly. So you have to pay for somebody else's school.
That's right. Well, isn't that the heart of socialism?
That makes really good sense to me.
The problem is, as Margaret Thatcher once said, that socialism only works till you run out of other people's money.
Yep.
Perhaps inspired by the boldness of their parents or older siblings, Gen Z has forged new levels of acceptance of other moral beliefs and behaviors, going where not even millennials have dared to go or tread. 1, accepting lying. 6 out of 10 Gen Z say that lying to protect your personal best interest is morally acceptable. That far surpasses the one half of older adults.
That might be the most incredible statistic that you've mentioned.
Because I will take that bet.
It goes so far against the morals that I would say that 99.9% of all Americans were brought up under.
That's correct.
You do not lie.
That's right. Well, isn't that what the Bible says?
Yeah. Don't bear false witness.
Precisely right. Accepting behaviors that produce no apparent or significant harm. That would be things like prostitution, you see. Mm-hmm. 3 out of every 10 Americans, 29%, from the generation that made if it feels good, do it, a catchphrase, that is the boomers, we're boomer generation, maintain that it is morally acceptable to do anything you desire as long as it does no harm. That in itself is alarming. But the numbers swell with each successive generation. Among Gen X, 40% embrace the mindset a majority of millennials, 55%, accept the mantra, which grows even larger to 2 out of every 3 Americans who are part of Gen Z. That's 66%.
Yeah.
Rejecting the Bible as one's primary moral guide. A mere 1 out of 5, that's 20%, 21%, of Gen Z identify the Bible as their primary source of moral guidance. It is notably lower than the proportion of adults from older generations, 29% of millennials, 34% of baby busters, 37% of boomers. Like the millennials before them, Gen Z reflects similar levels of support for gay marriage, the rejection of absolute moral truth, and the dismissal of the notion that every moral choice either honors or dishonors God. Now, they will find out the truth one day when they stand before Him, and particularly if they are lost, if they never receive Jesus Christ so as to be saved, they will stand before the great white throne judgment. Their destiny will be judged on their works. There's no lawyer that can save them, and they will be consigned to hell.
Correct.
That's the short version.
As you said, the binary choice.
Correct. Like the millennials before them, Gen Z reflects similar levels of support, you see, for all this nonsense. Knowing that most spiritual and moral beliefs and behaviors do not change during the adult years unless a significant life-transforming personal crisis intervenes, it is unlikely that the worldview elements that characterize Gen Z today will change substantially in the years to come, and one day they'll just slip into hell and it will be over. However, there are two noteworthy exceptions to the worldview conundrum. Gen Z is less likely than people from earlier generations, including millennials, to believe that people are basically good. This may be the result of the cultural turbulence they have experienced during their formative years, supporting the widely taught concept of man's inhumanity toward man. According to Barna, quote, young adults tend to form their worldview primarily through feelings and personal experience. That's what you hear from these lunatic politicians.
Right.
Even that stupid woman on the Supreme Court, the brown woman.
Yes, she don't know what a woman is.
Whatever her name is.
She don't know what a woman is.
Yeah, I don't know how she got out of law school, but several judges have taken her to task. She basically makes rulings on her feelings.
Yeah, that's the way she feels.
Not the law, how she thinks things should be. Well, that's not why you're there.
Absolutely
not. She
needs
to be impeached and removed from the bench. She's a disgrace to the judiciary, but that's another story. But what you have there is a microcosm and an object lesson that applies broadly in the greater society.
Yes, it does.
God help us. So according to Barna, Gen Z grew up with a daily bombardment of conflicting messages about right and wrong. Most of them lived in homes traumatized by divorce or domestic violence.
Right.
Crime has escalated precipitously in recent years. War and terrorism have been constant looming threats. Bullying, pedophilia, and child trafficking have been part of their life's narrative.
Right.
Under such conditions and without any kind of deeper spiritual wisdom provided to put these matters into context, it is not surprising that so many young adults feel their way through uncertain times and conclude that human beings are not inherently good. Well, the Bible will tell you that. Read the first chapter of Romans.
Another thing, too, about that, John, with the not thinking that people are morally or, you know, inherently good, that is absolutely correct. But in ages before this particular age that we live in now,
right,
you might read a story about somebody killing somebody, or you might read a story about a serial killer or whatever, and it's so abstract, it's so far removed from your experience that you just kind of gloss over it. Every single bad act that you can possibly think of, these people today can see it. And the eyes are the window to the soul. So that's part of the issue.
No, I won't take that bet. You're precisely correct. That also, that type of thinking, and it's further, they receive further indoctrination in the schools.
Oh, yes.
With Marxist, socialist concepts, even communist concepts and so forth. They don't have a chance outside of some life-transforming event. It should be scary.
Yeah,
and it should
it
be a
wake-up
call to the church, ladies and gentlemen. Barner underscored the irony of that shift in thinking. Millennials and Gen X have largely dismissed Christianity as an irrelevant faith.
Yeah.
Now, that belief is growing, and Europe is essentially gone now.
Oh, yeah. They're completely on the bad side.
Well, England has just about been taken over by Muslims.
And France has been taken over by Muslims.
Well, I won't take that bet either. I had a friend who went over not long ago, and he said the churches are dead as a hammer.
Oh, yeah.
They're just absolutely gone. They are coming to the same conclusion as the Bible. People are not basically good. Read Romans 1 and 2. Paul said all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God.
Right.
He says they're not anybody who's ever wanted to do good, you see. We're sinners. We are fallen humanity, ladies and gentlemen. We live in a lost and dying world. The only hope is for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back and fix it, and he will one day. You can quote this old preacher on that one, because that is directly from the Word of God. Sin distorts our minds and hearts, producing bad choice after bad choice. Repentance and reliance upon Jesus Christ are the solution, an antidote that people also dismissed as old-fashioned or even foolish. But biblical truth is the only reliable truth and will serve us best. The study also reveals that even though members of Gen Z are substantially more likely than older adults to believe that the Bible is ambiguous about the morality of abortion, it's not. Cross-reference Psalm 139.
That idiot running for Senate in Texas who says that the Bible is about choice.
Right. Well, and he's
an idiot.
Isn't he a pastor? He calls himself a pastor.
Well, he claims to be something, but he's an absolute moron.
He's a heretic. For starters. He's a low-grade moron. No question about that. He's also a heretic.
Yes, absolutely.
That's right. All righty then. And a record-breaking proportion of Gen Z accepts abortion as a morally defensible activity. Currently, they are less than likely than adults in older generations to participate in abortion. That is likely a reflection of the young age of those presently qualifying as Gen Z adults. It is likely that that generation will be responsible for a normative or higher number of abortions in the coming decade as they reach age and experience the conditions. Let's see. I got lost my place here. Commonly that trigger the abortion in the first place. Moral patterns. The American worldview provides some additional insights into the moral choices of other population segments in America. Here's the summary in brief. Adults who attend Protestant churches are more likely than those attending Catholic churches to possess traditional or biblical moral perspectives. That's interesting. People who attend evangelical Protestant churches are far more likely than those who attend mainline Protestant churches to retain Bible-based points of view on most of the moral issues measured by the study. Based on the morality indicators included in the research, an average of 62% of adults attending evangelical churches live in harmony with biblical teaching in regards to those measures. That compares with 42% of Catholics, 46% of mainline churches, 35% among people aligned with non-Christian faiths, and 27% among the don'ts, as people who don't know or believe anything.
Right.
Or say they don't. People who possess a biblical worldview are known as integrated disciples and are distinct from those who do not have a biblical worldview in terms of moral dispositions. Among those, 91% embrace the foundational doctrines of the faith.
Right.
Individuals who qualify theologically as born-again Christians, that is, they do not simply call themselves by that name, but have beliefs that place them in that category, are substantially different morally from those who do not have the same belief system. This is significant because a majority of the people who attend Christian church services are sometimes called nominal Christians.
Yes.
In other words, they identify as Christian. They have some academic or head knowledge of Christianity, but they've never been born again.
And they attend on Easter and Christmas.
Something like that. And they'll come eat your sausage and biscuits and stuff,
yeah,
and drink your latte,
yeah,
you see. But they've never been born again. There is a, in fact, perhaps one of the largest opportunities for evangelism are sitting on the pews.
Oh, absolutely.
Of these mainline churches.
And there's so many churches that refuse to preach the salvation message unless they're in a revival type situation.
Right. Well, you have preachers who refuse to preach the whole counsel of God.
Right.
On average, about 6 of 10 born-again adults, 61%, reflect biblical morality compared with 4 out of 10 of nominal Christians, 39%.
Mm-hmm.
These are predictable differences in morality based on a person's political ideology. The political segment examined that is most likely to hold traditional biblical moral beliefs and behaviors are those characterized as spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative Christians. Among them, 73% have adopted biblical morality in thought and practice. The average drops farther the more you move from right to left. 59% of socio-political conservatives, 41% of moderates, and 30% of liberals represent biblical morals in their beliefs and behavior. Not a very flattering picture of God's country.
Not at all.
The hope of restoration. The United States is witnessing the destruction of biblical morality, Barna stated, and I have to agree with him. Whatever people may feel about that reality, we must recognize that inescapable outcome of the rejection of traditional moral values is the weakening of personal relationships. You cannot trust people who believe that everything is conditional and who make every decision based solely on their personal needs and interests. It's no wonder that Americans no longer trust their central institutions or relationships. Lying, stealing, and cheating have become the new moral norm for the majority of citizens. All you got to do is go to Washington, D.C.
Yes, sir.
The Congress of the United States is den of thieves. Senator Kennedy from Louisiana told some reporter several months ago, he said 90% of the Congress should be making your license plate. And that may be a bit understated.
But it's true.
It's absolutely true. So we have steadily moved back to the jungle mentality. In other words, every man for himself.
Correct.
There was an armed robbery of a bank some years ago out near Banks Crossing. The branch manager locked his door and hid under his desk, leaving the women and the tellers out in the main part of the bank. In other words, now what kind of man is that? You see, in other words, every woman and child for himself, I guess.
Exactly. Would be his.
You can't. I'd strangle the living. Well, never
yeah.
mind.
I won't be careful now.
There. Look, I've been a military officer, a cop most of my life. Two things I hate. One is a liar, and the other is a coward. I'm already started. So the move towards self-centered choices reflects our diminishing view of the motives and values of humanity. Without God, the definer of morality and the judge of moral behavior at the center of thinking about right and wrong, we have no stable grounds upon which to base choice. By abandoning the absolute boundaries given to us in the Bible, We have opted for the unpredictable and conflicting standards that serve us so poorly. You always reap what you sow. That's what the Bible says. America is now harvesting the sad product of what has been cultivating over the last 40 years. The question for you, ladies and gentlemen, is, are you rapture ready?
Absolutely right.
And I know we're up against a hard break.
We are. We got to take it. You're listening to World in Crisis with John Gassert. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to World in Crisis with John Gassert. I'm co-host Rob Jordan. We're coming to you from Commerce, Georgia. We're in the studios of Whisper 95.1 FM. Get us worldwide 365 24/7 at WJJC.net and Whisper951.com. We'd also like to welcome our listeners from Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas, and America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia. They play the program at different times of the day and different days of the week. So wherever you are and whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gassert. John?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're living like there ain't no yesterday. We once held biblical worldviews. That has changed substantially in the last 50 years.
Absolutely.
I thought it appropriate. Certainly our nation has celebrated its 250th birthday. But do not deceive yourself into believing that there is another 250 years ahead, or even 100 years, or 50, or 20, probably not even 10.
Well, I'm going to tell you something that right along those lines. I saw a poll, I believe it was yesterday, but sometime over the last couple of days anyway, coming on the heels of our 250th anniversary now,
right,
which should have been the biggest blowout ever.
Sure.
Slightly over 50%, I believe it was 52, slightly over 50% of Americans consider themselves patriotic. Now, that is just an insane thing. The poorest person in the United States is far better than the richest person in most every other country, but
absolutely,
yet we're the bad guys and we should be punished.
Well, and look at the response of the Europeans coming here for the World Cup. They were astonished because what they saw and experience was nothing like what they hear in the media.
No.
And they were shocked and just embraced, were just jubilant about America and our American system.
And the bounty here.
That's correct. But you see, all you're getting in the mainstream media is psyops, that is psychological warfare,
right,
lies and propaganda. Ladies and gentlemen, I've told you many times, turn off the idiot box. You are not going to get truth out of these talking heads on the television set. Nothing but lies and propaganda. They are there to promote a prescribed narrative. Anything that doesn't fit within the narrative, they will not report or they will outright lie about it. So you might keep that in mind if you insist on watching the news. Behind the flurry of national celebrations, the fireworks, and by the way, my wife and I, one of the things that struck me in years past, on 4th of July, we had to bring the dogs, pups in the bedroom. They
right.
scared it, all these fireworks going off. I only heard a few fireworks in the distance.
Yeah,
there was almost nobody shooting fireworks.
I usually have a dog right up under my feet
right.
the whole time, but act like you didn't even know they were there.
That's right, not this year. America's days are numbered. Beyond the patriotic symbolism filling every square inch of marketing space, they want to sell you something. One unrelenting truth remains. We have our days numbered. It is hard to imagine that level of Babylonian vulnerability, especially when the social media is filled with the surprise reactions of European visitors. I was just referencing that, discovering America's greatness during the World Cup. It's hard to feel a measure of pride in what our nation has accomplished over the last 250 years or in the political course of corrections unfolding at breakneck speed under the Trump administration. While there are many, many injustices that are flooding our news feeds and causing us to lose faith in humanity, it's also an extraordinary time to be alive. As a wave of new technology promises to transform life on Earth in ways once thought impossible. For many, it's hard not to be optimistic And we're talking about such things as artificial intelligence,
right?
Finding cures in medicine, and those sorts of things. But resist that impulse, ladies and gentlemen. It's a trap. It is a trap. The intent here is not to simply present the view of a stick-in-the-mud doom and gloom. It is simply the result of assessing the Bible literally, and for what it does not say. I believe we call that realism.
Yes.
from a biblical perspective, there are only two possible outcomes. The United States either disappears from the world stage at the rapture of the church. No, it does not. Or it ultimately becomes a great geopolitical mystery known as Babylon the Great. Sort of. Given the extraordinary military power, financial dominance, geopolitical influence, and natural advantages America possesses, including two vast oceans protecting its borders, east and west, there is simply not enough time left in human history for the nation to evolve into something entirely different. It will either no longer exist in its present form, I agree with that statement, or it will become something altogether unprecedented, that more than likely. As 1 John 2:17 declares, "And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." With great power and great comes great responsibility. Undisputedly, the United States is the greatest national power the world has ever seen. However, when that great responsibility is neglected, great power turns into a greater liability and also evil. After decades of moral and spiritual neglect, those liabilities now become eventualities. Truth be told, the only way to address the systemic corruption and mounting existential challenges faced by our nation on every front, like the invasion of Muslims, for example, and at every level, is through a complete overhaul. Now, that's coming, but it will likely come under Antichrist. This nation, my exegesis is, the nation is not going to be collapse or disappear. That's utter nonsense. Antichrist arises in the West. It is the Western alliance that will control and rule over the world under a man called Antichrist. Antichrist. He will, Mr. Trump is in a sense preparing the way, because Antichrist will step into power and have control of the greatest, most formidable projection of military force this world has ever seen. He will also have control over the most formidable and expansive surveillance and intelligence apparatus this world has ever seen.
Economic,
he will have absolute totalitarian control, ladies and gentlemen. Make no mistake. But the church will be gone, and you're left behind. Your only choice is to refuse the mark of the beast, not worship the image, receive the Lord Jesus Christ. They will hunt you down, and they will cut your head off in that day. You will forfeit your life for your faith in that day. Now, he's wiggling and squirming. I'll pick this up next week. I don't want to end on a note like that. So understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is in control, and he stands ready. He loves you. You're in the age of grace. I pray this very night that you will pray to receive him into your heart. Paul declares, and my final thoughts is from Romans 8:1, "There is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do not play Russian roulette with eternity. Receive him this very night." And I pray that the Lord will richly bless you.
And for John Gassard, I'm Rob Jordan. Until next time, thanks for listening.